We're in the middle of Likutei Moran Tanina Tereches. In our Likutei Moran, so we're up to page 42, the left-hand column, about 10 lines down on the page, where it begins with the words Aisi Kumtse. We'll have a 1 or 2 minute review of what we had till now, and then we'll pick up. If you recall, the section that we're in the middle of now is pretty much reviewing the whole Torah, everything we had up until now. And Rabbein Ezal based this last review, this last summary, on a story in the Gemara, where the Gemara tells a story about Oig Melech HaBoshan, who was a big Russia, who was a major threat to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara tells one incident where this Oig Melech HaBoshan saw how large Bnei Yisrael were, how much space they took up, how much of an area they took up, and he measured off a mountain that was big enough, that was comparable size to them, and he intended to pick up, to uproot this mountain, pick it up and throw it on the Jews, on Bnei Yisrael, and thereby annihilate the whole Jewish nation. The Gemara says Hashem made a miracle that while he was holding this mountain over his head, ants, certain type of ants that eat through, that bore through sand, started boring through this thing, so it started slipping out of his hands and it fell over his head. It slid down over his head onto his shoulders. So the Gemara says he figured he'll simply pull it off and over his head and throw it again on Bnei Israel. The Gemara says Hashem made a miracle happen whereby his teeth started extending out of his mouth, and they dug into this mountain so that when he tried to pick it up over his head again, he couldn't do it. There was no way to do it. So the Gemara says, at that point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu, who himself was 10 amos tall, took a stick that was 10 amos large and jumped 10 amos into the air, which measured a height of 30 amos in total, about 60 feet up. And with that stick, at 60 feet in the air, he struck at this Oig Melech HaBoshan, and he hit him on the bottom of his feet, Karsulov, his ankles, and with this he was able to bring him down. This is the story that the Gemara tells, and Rabbein Ezal is giving a whole explanation to tie this story into what we learned about till now. The whole topic of how the Satan sometimes is able to swallow up certain tefillos of Bnei Israel. He's able to draw from the Rachmonos, from the Das, and when the Satan gets such power, at that time the only way to be able to weaken the Satan is by presenting. You need a Baal Koyach, a big tzaddik, to present a tefillah bebechinas din, a very, very powerful tefillah, and this tefillah also gets swallowed up by the Satan, but this tefillah has a tendency whereby it gets stuck in the throat of the Satan, and it causes him to throw up, to return all the nitzutzos of Kedusha, all the sparks of Kedusha that he had swallowed up. Not just that, but it forces him to be able to give up even part of his insides. This is where we left off. Now, we left off in the middle of the story where Rabbein Ezal is already explaining the story, and we're up to the part where these ants came and started digging into this mountain as Oig was holding it over his head, and they caused it to start slipping out of his hands, falling over his head. The Gemara had said, Aisi Kumtse, these special ants came, which have a tendency of digging into rock, making holes into rock. Rabbein Ezal says, Zebechinas Tzikumtse, these ants came. Rabbein Ezal says, Zebechinas HaTfilo Shel HaBal Koyach. This refers to this special kind of tfilo, Bebechinas Din, of this Bal Koyach, of this Tzadik. Shehi Bebechinas Kimutz V'din. This tefillah, we said, is not a regular tefillah. Normal tefillahs are bechinas rachmim v'tachnunim. They're supposed to be with kindness and compassion. A person is supposed to speak very softly, very pleadingly to Hashem. Whereas this tefillah is a tefillah bechinas din. Now, another word for din is tzimtzum, constriction, to constrict. Another word for tzimtzum in Hebrew is likmites. A kmitza means where you gather up a certain, you constrict, you gather up a certain measure, a specific quantity of flour or of a certain type of food item, whatever it is you're trying to gather up. So the term kimutz, komitz v'sosa, means hidden, sealed up, closed, which are all synonyms to this concept of din. We mentioned that the oisios stumois, the end letters of a word, those five letters, mem, nun, tzadik, pechov, represent a gevura. They're called chamisha gevurais because they are stumois. They end off a world. They're called ender letters. They have special ender letters. This concept of sosim is an inyan of din. So Rabbi Nizal says here that the Aramaic word which refers to these ants, kumtze, also means miloshin likmites, this bechinas kimutz v'din, a concept of din, harshness, bechinois mate oizhanal. This refers to the tefillah, which we compare to a stick of power. This is a very powerful kind of tefillah that's constructed bebechinas din, it's vayapalel, vayamoy pinchas vayapalel. The nikve, and it punctured, these ants were able to puncture the mountain and cause it to start slipping out of his hands. Rabbi Nizal says, Bechinas nokavto b'matov roish prozov. This corresponds to the posuk in Chavakuk, where the posuk says that Hashem, with his stick, smashed the heads of all of his enemies, meaning the Novi over there is talking about the fact that Hashem took Sancheirev, who was one of the goyim who wanted to come and destroy Bnei Israel, and Hashem picked him up and used him as an axe-like to swing him around and use him to knock off the heads, the leaders of all other nations. This Sancheirev took over the world, he chopped off the heads of all other nations, Hashem used him for this purpose, and then in the end Hashem destroyed him also. So we see that this term nikve, to make a hole, also refers, Rabbi Nizal says, Kalidei ha-tfilo shehu bebechinas kimutz v'din shalabal koyach. This tefillah, which is a bechina of gevura, of this bal koyach, shehu bechinas matei oiz. We referred to this earlier in this chapter in the Likutei Moran. We gave a nickname to this tefillah. We called it the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was the stick that Moshe Rabbeinu used to split the Red Sea. Ato poirarto ba'oz chayom, that Moshe Rabbeinu split the Red Sea with his power, with this matei oiz, this stick of power, which actually represents the tefillah bebechinas din. Rabbi Nizal says, Al yodo mishabrenu machnieno yisaykanal, and it's through this stick, which is another symbolism for this tefillah bebechinas din, that's what's used to break and lower these enemies of Bnei Israel, to be machnia the soton, ki hi oy medes beveis habliya shaloi, because this tefillah gets stuck in the throat of the soton, bebechinas, as the posuk says, bitzavoroi yolin oiz, in his throat remains this powerful item, this powerful package that the tzaddikim throw to the Satan for him to gobble up. This package gets stuck in the throat of the Satan and causes him to choke on it and causes him to actually vomit up all the tefillos. Rabbi Nizal says, V'zehu bo lemishlefei. This is why it says that once this mountain started slipping over his head, he wanted to take it off. He wanted to remove it. Ki hu muchroch lohitzi ulohoki kol hakedushoi shel hatfilois vada shebola. The soton is obligated to return, to throw up all the kedusha of all the tefillos and das that he had swallowed up. Bebechinas, as we quoted a pasuk earlier, chel bola vayikienu, that the soton swallows up this army of kedusha and then he's forced to throw it up. This is why it says he wanted to give it back, because when this thing gets stuck in his throat, just like when a person gets something lodged in his throat, he wants to get rid of it. So too here, once he picked up this mountain and it got stuck on him, he wanted to get rid of it. He wanted to give it forth, give it up. V'zehu moshchua shinei. This is why the Gemara says that his teeth started elongating, started extending. Kiloi dai shehu meki umaitzi kedushas tefilas Yisrael. Not only is the Satan forced to throw up and to give up all the holiness of the tefilas of the Yidden, which he had swallowed up, afgam mi bitno yorishenu keil. Besides giving up the tefilos, he's actually forced to give up part of his insides, his kishkis, his intestines, have to come out in the process. V'zehu b'chinas mashchu hashinei. This is why the Gemara uses the shezehu b'chinas hainu shemuchrach lohitzi atzmais chiyusay mamish. The Satan is forced to give up part of his actual essence, part of himself. Shezehu b'chinas gerim. This, we said before, was the concept of converts. This is why the Gemara says his teeth started extending. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where there it compares the insides, the intestines, to a block of marble, shein, meaning like the tooth, ivory, you know, the item that a tooth is made out of. So note that the word shein is used to represent the intestines. So when it says here, moshchu hashine, that his teeth started coming out in the process, this means his insides were coming out, were being given up in the process. Hainu shemuchrach lohitzi atzmo yischiyusay mitoch kirbo yumeyov. The satan becomes mandatory for him to give up his actual insides from his stomach, from his intestines. All of that comes flying out of him. Bebechina, says the pasuk, says mi bitno yerishenu keil, that from within the stomach of the satan, Hashem will yarshin him. Hashem will inherit from there. Hashem will pull out of there something that will become part of the kedusha, referring to gerim, converts. Bechina, says the pasuk, says rido beke. Hashem says to the tzaddikim, go into the midst of your enemy and pull out from there. In other words, take some of them and bring them into the Kedusha, being this concept of gerim, converts. Then the Gemara says, Moshe Kamahavi, how tall was Moshe Rabbeinu? Eser Amin. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall. Moshe hu bechinas nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu represents the concept of prophecy. Ki Moshe Rabbon shel kol hanaviim, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of all the prophets. Vizehu bechinas eser amin. This is why it describes his greatness as being 10 amos, meaning achieving a height of 10 amos. Bechinas asoro madregoi shel nevuah. This refers to the 10 levels of prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeche to. Kialidei matei oiz hanal, through this matei oiz, shal yodoi nizgala hakovoi kanal. We said before that when the tzaddik gives forth this tefillah b'bechinas din, which is this power, this dynamite, which is able to bring forth gerim, it's actually able to pull out from the satan gerim. When gerim become the scarif to the Jewish people, this brings about a tremendous hizgalos hakovoid of Hashem. Hovol Hashem mishpuchay samim, hovol Hashem kovoid va'oiz. And we said that when there's a hizgalos hakovoid, that brings about a hispashtus hanavuah, because nevuah comes specifically to those people that are associated with kovoid, an oshir, a chacham, a gibor. We showed earlier how they were all b'chinas kovoid. So Rabbein Ezal says, shal yodoin is gawa kovoid, through this matei oiz, through this tefillah bebechinas din, this brings forth the gerim, these converts, which bring about a hizgalos hakovoid, aydei zeh zeichen lenevuah kanal, through which a person is zeichet to nevuah. So that's why right after, this Gemara describes the fact that moshchu hashinei, that the tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, was successful in pulling forth, mi bitno yerishenu keil, bringing forth gerim from among oig. Right after that, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to the 10 levels of nevuah, meaning he was zeichet to a shleimus hanevuah, which comes through a hizgalos hakovoid, which comes by bringing forth gerim. Rabbeinu is also, the Gemara continues, shokal narago bas eser amin, he took an axe that was 10 amos, narago zebechinas kli malocho shal maisa bereshis, an axe represents a tool that's used in creating, in building. Rabbein Ezal says this represents the kalim that we used for Maisa Bereshis. Vizehu bas eser amin. This is why it says an axe that was also 10 amos. This refers to the act of work that was involved in bringing about the Maisa Bereshis, the creation of the world, which also involved 10 levels. Bechinas asoro ma'amorois shebohem nivro olam. This refers to the 10 statements, the 10 vayomers with which Hashem created the world. Shehim bechinas kli malocha shel maisa bereshis. They are referred to as the kli malocha, the tools that were used in bringing about the creation of the world. Because we explained in this Torah earlier that through nevuah, which represents a perfection of the imagination, when a person is zeicha to become attached to a Rebbe who possesses this nevuah, which represents a tikkun of the medame, all of those that are zeicha to become a kuruv to him have a major tikkun to their emunah, faith, which is also dependent on this power of imagination. It's not totally in Yidi, it's totally in imagination. So when the Nevuah is Bishleimus, automatically the Emuna is also Bishleimus. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki al yidei Nevuah Zeichel Emuna. We explained earlier that through Nevuah, you Zeichet Emuna. Shehi Bechinas Asor Ma'amorais. Emuna represents these 10 statements that were made by Hashem, Shehem, Kli Malacha, Shel Maisa Bereishis. Those are the tools that we used for Maisa Bereishis. Why? Why do we say that? What's the association between the Emuna and the Asura Ma'amorais? Ki al yidei Emuna ma'aminim b'chidush ha'olam. Through Emuna, the only way a person can understand, can achieve any association with the concept of Chiddush HaOlam, with a concept that Hashem created something from nothing, the only way we have a bond with that is through Emuna, faith. We can't understand that. There's no way to understand it. It's just a question of Emuna. Shashem Yisborach Boro HaKoyel Basor HaMamoris Kanal. The fact that Hashem created everything with these 10 statements. V'yidei Emuna Zeichin L'Chiddush HaOlam Shalosid. And we explained earlier that what's the key to the Chiddush HaOlam Shalosid? We said, Tavoi Toshuri Meroi Shamona. That the key to the rebuilding of the world is Emuna. So just like the future world is going to be built with Emuna, so too, whenever Hashem renews the world, it's always through this power of Emuna. So if we're told that when Hashem first created the world, He created it with 10 statements, it means these 10 statements must be a Bechina of Emuna. Because we say that any concept of creating the world is totally in this Emuna, in this concept of Chiddush HaOlam. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vayidei Emuna zeichen lechidush ha'olam shelosid." Through Emuna, it's only when the Yidden are zeichet to have true faith in Hashem, that's what's going to help them be zeichet to the chidush ha'olam of the future, to the recreation of the world anew in the future. Vo'oz yisar shir chodosh kanal, and we said that when that happens, there's going to be this new song that's going to be sung. V'zehu v'shovar eser amin. This is why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu jumped 10 amos. This concept of jumping is a concept that applies to music. Rabbeinu Zal says, Zebechinas hashir shela osid. This corresponds to this song of the future, Shehu shir poshut, which is this simple song that's simple, then double, then triple, then quadruple, we said, which Shehu yud oisiyos, which represents a total of 10 letters. We said that this special song, which is going to be played on a harp of 72 strings, how do we get the 72? By taking Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei and starting off with Yud, then Yud Kei, then Yud Kei Vav, then Yud Kei Vav Kei, which gives us a total gematria, a total value of 72. But the total number of letters that are being used are 10 letters. That combination of Yud, Yud Hei, Yud Hei Vav, then Yud Kei Vav Kei is a total of 10 letters. This is what it means when it says he jumped. Moshe Rabbeinu jumped these 10 levels. Rabbeinu Zal says this refers to this Shir Chodosh. V'shovar, this jumping, Zebechinas Medaleg al Hehorim Mekapetz al Agvois. This refers to a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, where the pasuk says they jump over the mountains, they spring over the valleys. Horim Ugvois, these mountains and valleys, Hein Bechinas Reichos, they represent a place from where the smell comes from. Bechinas says the Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Eilech li el har ha-moir vel givas ha-levoina. Let me go to the mountain of Moir and to the valley of Levoina. So we see that the term mountain and valley is used specifically with Reach, to get this delicious aroma that's to be found there. So the mountain and valley is a concept of Reach. The jumping is based on this posuk of Medalek al Ahorim Ekabsa Lagvois. Jumping represents this going over the mountains and valleys, which has this, which possesses this Reach. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu Horechois Hagdelem Bagan al Yidei Koel Hanigin Shehu Mashke. This refers to the delicious aromas that are to be found in this garden, which are fed through the coil that passes through the garden. If you recall, we had in the beginning, way in the beginning of this Tanakhatamaran, we had the Eskoilech Shomati Bagan Voira. Rabbi Nazal gave a whole explanation that it's the Koil Hatfila that nourishes the gan, the asabim that grow in the gan, which means the rechos, the Jewish neshamos. They get their nourishment from this koil of imoichia choroi. We had a whole explanation in the beginning of the Torah. If you go back there, you'll see it clearly. This is why Rabbein Azal references the Pasuk Medaleg Al Harim, springing over mountains and valleys. Zebechinas Hanigan Kanal. This refers to this sweet melody that we spoke about in the beginning of the Torah, the Koil Hamoichia Choroi. Sha'al Yodoi Gedelin Horechois. We said that this person who's able to give Toichocho properly, he brings about a Nirdi Nosan Rechoi. He's able to give forth a good aroma coming from the through the Teichocha. Shehem bebechinas horim ugvois, which represents these mountains and valleys, in which is found the Moir and Levoina. Vizehu medaleg, this is why the word springing is used, jumping, zebechinas hamidois shelanigan. This refers to the musical notes, shekoirin masin, which are called masin. This means like octaves. In other words, dealing in different octaves in music, where there are eight notes and eight notes and eight notes, and you keep climbing, jumping up from one to the other, jumping back and forth from these musical notes. How does a person bring forth these different notes? It's by his fingers jumping back and forth, number one, on the same string, different positions on the string, and jumping from one string to the other. That's how a person brings forth a melody. So Rabbein Azal says, "V'zeh b'chinas v'shover eser amin." This is why the Gemara uses the wording about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he jumped 10 levels. Rabbi Nizal says this statement of jumping 10 levels encompasses the whole concept of the nigun, the koil hamachia charoi, the nigun, the shir shalosed lovoi, the rechois, that whole discussion that we had at the beginning of the Torah is all hidden in these words, v'shavar eser amin. Hainu b'chinas hanigun anal, this refers to this melody, shehu b'chinas medaleg al horim kanal, as we explained earlier. Through all of these things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, meaning through the fact that he was zeicha to this koil hamachia choroi, through the fact that he was zeicha to this tefillah bebechinas din, which he gave forth, which he used to extract, number one, all the kedusha that Oig had swallowed up. Plus, he was able to actually extract from him his own kishkis. Through that, he was zeicha to the Esa Madrega Sanavua. Through that, he was zeicha to be able to bring about a tikkun for the Amuna. Through all of this, Rabbein Azal says, zeichin lozeh hanigin. This tzaddik is zeicha to this type of nigin that we discussed in the beginning of the Torah. Vizeh hanigin hu bechinas koil hanal. This nigun is the koil that we discussed in the beginning of the Torah. If you look at that paragraph in the beginning of the Torah that discusses this, that's where Rabbein Azal uses this, the koil hatfila and the nigun as interchangeable. Both of these items are referring to the same item. Rabbein Azal says, "V'zeh hanigin hu bechinas hakoil hanal, bechinas koil Yaakov, shehu machnia ekev de sitrachron." This beautiful song that's going to be played, Lo Sid Lovoi, which represents the Emuna and Chiddush HaOlam, which is brought about through a Hispashta Sanavua, which is brought about through a Hisgalus HaKovoi, which is brought about by being Mekarev Gerim, by giving forth this Tefillah B'Bechinas Din, this serves to be Machnia, the Ekev of the Sitrachra. We explained in the beginning of the Torah that the battle between Yaakov and Esau, the Pasuk says, V'yodo Yecheses Ba'akev Esau, that where does Yaakov Avinu grab onto Esav by the heel of his foot? That's where he tries to pull him down. Because if you recall in the story, Esav appeared to be coming out of his mother's stomach first. So when he was just about all the way out and only his foot was inside, Yaakov Avinu schlepped him back in, he pulled him back in, and Yaakov Avinu tried to jump out first. That's what he was trying to do. So Rabbein Azal says, Vizehu u'machye bekarsule v'katle. This is why the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu struck at Oig, at his ankle, at the bottom of his foot, and he killed him. Shehiko v'hichnia ekev de sitrachra. This refers to the power of a tzaddik to strike at and to destroy, to eliminate this ekev of the sitrachra, the heel of the foot of the Sotan. How? al yidei bechinas koil hanigan anal, through this koil, the voice of the sound of this beautiful nigan, this nigan shel osed lavoi, shehu bechinas koil Yaakov, which is the voice of Yaakov Avinu, shehu machnia ekev the sitrachra, which is the power that weakens, that lowers the ekev, the heel of the foot of the sotom. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, with his hand he grabbed onto the heel of the foot of Esav. Note this word viyodoi, viyudoi, his yud, it's the yud of Yaakov Avinu. These es asor mine negino, this asor mine nevua, all of these 10 levels that we spoke about, the 10 and the 10 and the 10, that's what helps to be machnia, this ekev of Esav. And again, we said in the beginning of this Torah that on this Torah there's a lot to say from Likutei Halachos. There's tremendous explanation on the topic of Tikkun HaKloli and other items, how all of this represent everything we spoke about in this Torah. This Nigin Shel Osed Lavoi, the Emunah in Chiddush HaOlam, the Koil HaMachiach HaRoi, these three items are actually one and the same. In other words, this requires a lot of elaboration to be able to tie these three things together, the three types of Koil that were discussed in this Torah. The Koil of the Machiach, the Koil of a Tzadik, who knows how to reprimand the Jews properly. That's one item we discussed. Then there's the koil of the tefillah bebechinas din, that koil, which Rabbeinu Zalman the Torah had connected these two together, if you look back. Then there's the third koil of the nigin shel osed lavoi, this beautiful nigin that represents the chiddush olam, the emunah in chiddush olam. These three are actually one and the same. It's referring to the same thing. One leads to the other, one is the other in actuality, and each one feeds back and forth. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'zeh pirish tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. Now we're going to tie all of this into that pasuk, the main pasuk that's written about Rosh Hashanah. Tiku zeh b'chinas hizgalas hakovod. The word tiku, the term tikiyo, refers to a revelation of kovod. Rabbeinu Zal says, b'chinas, as the pasuk says, usekativ yoseid b'mokoim nemon v'hoyo lekisei kovod. There's a pasuk in Navi where Hashem says, I will place him as a sturdy spike in a trustworthy place, in other words, in ground where the spike will stand up real solid, v'hoyo lekisei kovod, and he will be a throne of glory, kovod. Note the association between kovod and usekativ, tkiyo, that tkiyo represents the sinyan of kovod. Tiku, the term tiku represents this concept of kovod. Bachoidesh zebechinas chidish ha'ilam. The word chidish here represents the concept that we discussed in this Torah, referring to chidish ha'ilam. Bechinas shir chodoshanal, referring to this new song that's going to be played, losid lovoi. Vezehu bechinas, again, which refers to this koel hamoichiach, where his toichacha is a form of chesed. It's an act of kindness. It's not harshness. It's a sweet item. It's near the nosan rechoi. His koel, that's the koil of HaMechiach HaRoi. Bechinas shofar, bechinas horim kashofar koilech. That's why tiku b'chodesh shofar. If you recall, we quoted a pasuk which says about Hashem says to the good prophets, horim kashofar koilech v'hageid l'ami pishon. Raise your voice like the blast of a shofar and tell my people their sins, meaning to give teichocha. That good, the pure teichocha, is represented by the koil of the shofar. V'chodor meforish eich zeichin al yidei izgalas hakovoi shehu b'chinas tiku lebechinas chidish oilam b'chinas shir chodosh shehu b'chinas b'chodesh shofar. Now, the pasuk is going to explain the intermediate steps. How a person gets from the hizgalas hakovoid, which we refer to as tiku, how you get from that to the b'chodesh shofar, to the chidish oilam. Now we're going to discuss all the steps that take you from one end of the spectrum to the other end. This is what's hinted to in the words Bakese Yom Chagenu. Ki Bakese, the word Bakese, which means hidden, covered up, Zebechinas Nevua. This represents the concept of prophecy. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Chumash, Hamechase Ani Me Avraham Asher Ani Oise. When Hashem was about to destroy the city of Sidon, and the pasuk says, Hashem said, would I hide from Avraham Avinu anything that I'm going to do? And that he was referring to the fact that Avraham Avinu is a prophet. A prophet must be notified in advance of whatever Hashem is going to do. So we see that this term Bakeser refers to the topic of Nevuah, the fact that Hashem does not hide from certain tzaddikim what his intentions are in the future. Shezeh Bechinas Nevuah. This is the concept of prophecy. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Amos, Ki lo yaseh Hashem aleikim dovor, ki im gilo soidoi el avodov hanavim. That Hashem never does anything until he reveals his secret to the prophets. Note, the term secret refers to a hidden item. So the word bakese, which refers to a hidden item, that's a comparable word to the term nevuah, prophecy. Prophecy means where Hashem reveals something to an individual which is hidden from the general public. Rabbi Nizal says, Liyoim Chageinu, the words Liyoim Chageinu, Hu Rosh Hashanah, that refers to Rosh Hashanah in that pasuk. Zeo Bechinas Emuna, this refers to the concept of Emuna, faith. Shenistakein Ayidei Tikin Koyach HaMedame. We said that when there is this Nevuah, when the Nevuah is there, which means prophecy, which is a form of a perfection of imagination, then automatically the Emuna is also Katikuna. The Emuna, which is the faith, is also proper. Rabbi Nizal says that Zebechinas Emuna Shenistakein Ayidei Tikin Koyach HaMedame. The Emuna also has a Tikin when the imagination is fixed up. Shehu Bechinas Chag. Another word for faith is also chag. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, ubimechuga yisoarehu. And with this special keli, a special round keli that's used to construct round images, circles. Rabbi Nizal says the word yisoarehu, which means to make a picture, like to make an image around a circular image, hainu toorim ushvochim. This also refers to nicknames, synonyms, like when you try to compare something to something else. Hashehein bechinas koyach medame, which is this concept of medame. Medame means where something looks like something else, where something is made to look like something else, where somebody conjures up an image where he sees an ice cream cone in front of him, and it's, in other words, the ice cream cone isn't there, but it looks to him, he's able to make a picture, paint a picture in his imagination as though it were there. Kikol hatorim v'hashvachim shona medame noisa yisborach. All the different nicknames and praises that we use to discuss Hashem, heim bechinas hamedame, they are all within this concept of imagination. We imagine Hashem to be odoin, to be gibor. We say ato gibor l'olam Hashem. We use the term gibor because we picture, we conjure up an image in our mind of Hashem being very strong, the most powerful thing imaginable. Ki bepnimius haseichel hu yisborach mufshot legamri mikol hashvachim vatorim. Because in truth, according to the innermost wisdom, Hashem is totally separated from any concept of any praise, any physical praise that we would want to shower on Hashem. There's no way in the world to apply those terms to Hashem. The term strong is a physical term. The term kind is a term that applies to a gashmiistic concept, whereby kaviyochel Hashem is way above all of this. Elamai, Rabbi Nizal says, Nimtza, we see from this, Shekol hashvochim vatorim sheim bechinas hamedame, that all the different praises and nicknames that we use to describe Hashem or to discuss Hashem, they are actually within the concept of medame, within the concept of imagination. In other words, that's not a real adequate description of Hashem. That doesn't really describe Hashem, because Hashem is above the concept of being described. Hashem is not containable in any way. He's not containable within any term. There's no term, word, that can contain a description of Hashem. If Hashem is Ein Sof, infinite in every sense of the word. V'alken, and therefore, kishahamedame mevuror umesukom, when the medame, when a person's imagination is clear and pure, oz yecholem lesader shevochim utorim lo yisborach, then such a person is capable of creating real solid, real good praises to Hashem, because he knows how to describe Hashem in a good way. If this whole concept of describing Hashem is totally an imagination, then according to how much your imagination is kitikuna, is proper, is good, that's how well you're in a position to discuss and describe Hashem. Because when a person's medame, when a person's imagination is messed up, then the person doesn't know at all whatsoever how to be able to discuss Hashem in any nicknames or how to use any adjectives or any terms to be able to describe Hashem. Because all of these praises and terms that we use to discuss Hashem are all within the scope of medame, are all within the scope of what we imagine Hashem to be. V'ze b'chinas chag. This is the concept of the term chag, b'chinas uv'mechugo yiso'arehu. That through this power of mechugo, which represents a circle, something round, a keli that's round, yiso'arehu, that's what allows us to be metayer Hashem, to picture Hashem. Meaning, the round thing, this mechuga, refers to the emuna. There's a pasuk v'emunascha svivoisecha. Emuna, faith, is something that's round. It has no beginning, no end to it. Faith is always referred to as this concept of soviv. Ki ikar Rosh Hashanah shazu chidish ha'ila. Rabbein Ezal says, v'yidezeh nistakin ho emuna shi b'chinas Rosh Hashanah. And through all of this, through the tikkun of the emuna and chidish ha'ila, through the tikkun hanavuah, and through all of these other items that we explained, through the izgalas hakovoid and these other things, through that is nistakin the emuna, which is a concept of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbein Ezal says, Ki ikar Rosh Hashanah she'oz hu chidish ha'olam. What makes this holiday of Rosh Hashanah so important? The fact that that's the birthday of the world. That's when Odom Arishon, which represents the world, that's when he begins anew. That's when we begin a new count on the life of Odom Arishon. Ki b'tishrei nivroilam, as the Gemara says, that the world was created in Tishrei. And we said earlier that the whole concept of Chiddush HaOlam is Toli in Emuna. Tavoi Tashuri Meroish Amuna. Rabbi Nezal says now, V'zeh Bakes Eliyim Chageinu Ki Iker Tikkun HaMedame V'ho Emuna Hu Al Yidei Nevuah Kanal. We said before that the main tikkun of a person's koyach hamedama, of a person's imagination, is dependent on a tikkun hanavuah. By becoming attached to a Rebbe who possesses this bechina of nevuah b'shleimus, nevuah, which is one of the forms of a tikkun for the medama, tikkun of imagination, that enables all of those that are niskariv to him that their emuna should be b'shleimus, because emuna is also something that's dependent on this medama, on this imagination. Rabbein Ezal says, V'alkein Rosh Hashanah shibachinas emuna ikar Rosh Hashanah toli besivon. This is why Rosh Hashanah, which is dependent on emuna, Rosh Hashanah, which is this whole concept of emuna, the concept of chiddush ha'olam, as we just explained, Rabbein Ezal says, it's dependent on the month of Sivan, shehu kabbalas ha'Torah, which is the month in which Bnei Yisrael received the Torah. Shaydezeh nistakein hu emuna kanal. The whole tikkun of the emuna is totally in Torah. It's the 10 madregos of nevuah, which were revealed when? At Matan Torah, in the form of the Aseres HaDibrois. If you recall, we had early in this chapter that the whole concept of Hashem speaking to the Jews, that alone was a form of nevuah. Diber Hashem Imohem is a bechina of nevuah. So Rabbein Ezal says now that through the Kabbalas HaTorah, that's what helped to bring about a Tikkun HaEmunah. Through the Tikkun of the imagination and the faith, which is dependent on a tikkun of prophecy, b'chinas bakes eliyim chageinu, which is the term bakesa, covered up, hidden up, when Hashem reveals to one individual that which is hidden from everybody else, that's the bakesa. And the liyim chageinu, chageinu refers to the emuna, this chog, this eagle, this circle. Through that, a person is zeicha to chidush ha'olam, b'chinas shir chodesh anal, this new song, shehu b'chinas b'chodesh shofar. V'chol ze nimshach mebechinas hizgalos hakovoid. All of this comes, what starts all of this off? The hizgalos hakovoid, the tiku, the usikativ yosei b'mokoyim ne'mon, v'hoyo l'kisei kovoid. What starts off this whole thing is a revelation of the kovoid of Hashem. Shehu b'chinas b'chodesh shofar, which is brought about through the b'chodesh shofar, through the blasting coil of this mechiach haroi, which he uses to rob the satan of these new nefashos, which come forth, which bring about this hizgalos hakovoid. V'chol ze nimshach mebechinas hizgalas hakovoid bechinas tiku kanal. Ki al yidei hizgalas hakovoid zeichem lehispashlis hanavua kanal. Through this revelation of kovoid, we are zeichet to a spreading of emunah, as we explained way before in the Torah. Rabbeinu Zalman just keeps tying together two things at a time, all kinds of different things which we had already tied together earlier. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Uklal kol habechino yisraelu nas nal yedei bechinas ki choikli Yisrael hu mishpat leke Yaakov." How is all of this accomplished? How is all of this achieved? The pasuk ends off by saying, "Ki choikli Yisrael hu mishpat leke Yaakov." Shehu bechinas matei oiz kanal. The choik refers to mazayin. If you recall, we explained earlier chok lishna the mazayna. The Gemara says in Beyah. The Gemara proves from Sukkim that Chayk refers to food. This refers to the food that was in the Satan's stomach, sort of. This muzzling that he gobbled up, that he's forced to give back now, he's forced to give it up. That's the Chayk, Li Yisrael Hu. This Chayk, which was originally by the Satan, now it comes back, Li Yisrael, it gets returned to the Jewish people. How? Through Mishpat Leike Yaakov. Mishpat refers to this Tfilah Bebechinas Din. Rabbeinu Zal says, Shehu Bechinas Mateo is Kanal. That's the stick of power. That's what really triggers off all of this. So if we want to know what's really the focal point of this whole Torah, Rabbeinu Zal is saying that when this thing narrows down to a point, the point is the tefillah b'bechinas din, that there exists this fantastic item called a tefillah b'bechinas din, which a certain tzaddik knows how to employ this to bring about such a chain reaction that it literally spans just about everything we discussed in this Torah. The fact that this tzaddik knows how to construct this tefillah b'bechinas din, it means he knows how to speak with a harshness. Speaking with harshness usually should reject, it should push away. He's able to speak with a harshness where his harshness brings additional. Not only doesn't it push away, but it brings new nefashos. It extracts from within the Satan new nefashos that weren't even there ever before. He's able to bring them into the Kiddusha. And this brings about a hiskalas hakovoid, which brings about a hispashtas hanavua, which brings about the shir chodosh, emuna, a tikkun and emuna, and it brings about the chiddush olam. This is basically a summary of everything we had so far in this Torah. And again, this is a very difficult Torah. This is actually the last shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave in his life. So Rabbeinu Zal was talking here when he was at his highest point in his life, on the highest level. And this Torah summarizes the most outstanding concepts, the last, literally, the untish the shura of what Rabbeinu Zal wanted to leave with his Talmidim. All the different concepts that we had here about looking for a tzaddik emes, and about being careful how to be mechiyach, and about this shir, about emunah, a tikkun of emunah, and a tikkun of nevuah, and a tikkun of the medame, all of these items, these were the last items that Rabbeinu Zal discussed with his Talmidim on the Rosh Hashanah before his passing. It's brought, the Mefarshim bring, that year, that last year of Rabbeinu Zal's life, on Shavuos, there were three basic times, three most important times, when Rabbeinu Zal wanted his Talmidim to come to him. One was Shabbos Chanukah, the other was Shavuos, and the third and most important was Rosh Hashanah. That year on Shavuos, all of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim had come to him to hear a shir, as was usual. And that Shavuos, he didn't speak at all. He made an excuse, he gave all, you know, they kept begging him and he kept pushing him away, until finally he told them, "You're so good that you don't need a shir." And they understood that there were reasons behind why it was this way. But Rav Nosson Zal said that year on Rosh Hashanah, when it came to Rosh Hashanah, Rabbeinu Zal included the topic of Shavuos. He tied together the topic of Shavuos with Rosh Hashanah, showing how this, the bottom line of Rosh Hashanah, which is this tikkun Emunah in the Chiddush Olam, is dependent on the Aseres HaDibros, the Kabbalah Satira. And this is why, if you look in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, you find tremendous reference to Shavuos, the Ato Nigleso Banan Kvoidecho, you Hashem revealed yourself on Har Sinai. The whole concept of the Shofar, where do we find the Shofar in the Torah? By Har Sinai. When Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Israel, that's when we saw this, the first time where we find mention of this blast of the Shofar. So that there are many, many things to tie together the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Tov of Shavuos.
This topic of Tefillah B'chinas Din, how does it apply to an ordinary Jew?
one obvious, extremely obvious example that should have come to light, that should have sprang up from the paper. In this last sentence that we just had here, Rabbi Nazar referred to the tefillah b'b'chinas din as mishpat. That was the nickname that he gave to this tefillah b'b'chinas din. Rabbi Nazar also uses the term mishpat as a nickname for one of the nicknames for his spodidus, the act of a person making a cheshboin hanefesh at the end of every day. Cheshboin means an accounting. Accounting means tzimtzum, meaning that it's not limitless. It's not my whole day went by and I have no accounting for it. I have to account. I have to be mitzamtzem my whole day. Once I finish the whole day, now I have to review it. And I have to take it minute by minute, hour by hour, and put it into boundaries, into a tzimtzum, and present it to Hashem. And there's a vidui, a confession that's involved, where I have to apologize to Hashem. Again, this is all din. In other words, each and every Jew is supposed to experience a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur every single day of his life. He's supposed to be, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the fact is, every night when a Jew goes to sleep, that's actually what happens. The Neshama leaves him, and what? What does it do? It undergoes a judgment. Every single night in Shemayim, there's a judgment. How does a person avoid being harmed by that judgment? The Gemara says, Kishyesh din lamato, ein din lamala. If a person self-imposes, he judges himself, he brings the judgment on himself. He doesn't wait for a judge to judge him, but he judges himself. He studies himself and analyzes himself, even verbally. And he says, I'm sorry that I did this thing. And he talks to different parts of his body. Eyes, how could you have been so foolish today? For 2-3 seconds of pleasure, you messed yourself up. Where now, if you want to look at Torah, it's unclear to you. You're not able to understand it well. And all of these items, this is one example of this tefillah b'b'chinas din as it applies to every Jew. But here again, you see where there's a potential that here we learn the whole chapter on Likutei Moran, and yet there's a vagueness to it. And it isn't until a person comes into the Likutei Halachos and the Sforum of Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, where they're the ones who really, really take these words, and now let's show you all the practical applications, how this applies to every person, which times of the year, specifically the importance of Hespedidus by night. Night, again, is a time of din, mishpat. There are many, many sikh. In other words, all of this, there are things here that are so not obvious, which you need a Rav Nosson Zal to come along to now take you, once you've learned the Torah 2-3 times and you understand the concepts that Rav Nosson Zal is setting forth, now watch how Rav Nosson Zal shows you that you didn't begin to understand, because you learned all of this and you don't know how to put it into practical application. Rav Nosson Zal uses his wisdom of Torah and Shulchan Aruch and everything to show us all the practical applications and manifestations of this Torah and Likutei Moran. Halavai, we should be zecha to be mekayim everything that's written here. Hashem.